The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4Wins. Kai Gregory to my left, Kip Kiefer below him, Case Kiefer live from Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Sun. He is the chief editor out there. He joins us every single show. And of course, this is K4Wins. The K4 brothers come together twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time to bring you all of our favorite picks. We'd like to get together on Tuesday and kind of go over what happened to the weekend and kind of get an early look at Saturdays and Sundays. And of course, another week, gentlemen of college football every single day of the week, which are loving. So whenever you got college football 7 days a week, it's great. Got a lot going on with coaching changes. Is Indiana really the third best team in all of college football? We'll find out from Case in just a minute, because that's what Las Vegas is telling us. And also, the second biggest upset of the college football season happened right here in our own backyard. Happy for one, Mr. Mortensen, Alex Mortensen, who, by the way, is going to join us on the starting lineup this Saturday morning. He's going to be on from 10:30, 11 o'clock. It's nice. He is now has the same number of top 25 wins as Hugh Freeze does at Auburn.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
pretty good, huh? And he's going to join us on the show coming up on Saturday. And of course, I don't know. I had him on the phone this morning and I said, are you glad you have a bye week or not? And he said, to be honest with you, he goes, I'm kind of glad we got the bye week. They do have some injuries. They made the quarterback change. The next thing you know, we're talking about the UAB Blazers. They get the big victory. We'll see what happens. Ty Simpson right now, the Heisman Trophy front runner. Who would have thunk that going into week 9 of the college football season? Let's start with Case Kiefer. Case, is Indiana really the third best team in college football?
I think they're certainly in the conversation. I mean, it's really weird how, not weird, it's just, we've talked about it a lot, how college football has changed. And I really think there's a handful of teams, 16 to 20, that any of them can beat any of the other ones on a really good day. But Indiana's been super impressive. You know, one thing I said is even their early season wins look a lot better now in the way they've handled things. I know futures wise, they're third right now behind Ohio State and Alabama. Market-wise, if you look at where closing point spreads are compared to other things, although there's still going to be some prior data from when we thought less of them going into the season, they're more towards the 5-7 range. I will say I have access to what I would consider the best. I don't want to say too much, but I have access to power ratings that I think are worth a lot. Probably one of the best sports bettors in the world uses them, and he has Indiana second. So I believe in this team. I think they're really, really good. Does that mean they're going to win the national championship? No, not necessarily. I mean, you throw any team at me right now, I say, no, they're not going to win the national championships. I really think all these teams could just beat each other. And I think that's probably bound to happen. Even Ohio State, that I know everyone just is gushing over right now. And I think you do have to give some love to their defense. I mean, defensively, it's been one of the most dominating units we've seen recently. But still, I mean, the Texas game was a coin flip at the beginning of the year. I can't get that out of my mind. I feel like anyone can beat them too. I just feel like it's a big jumble and all these teams are about even to me.
It's Ohio State, Alabama, Indiana third, and Notre Dame. That's right. The team that started the season with two losses is the fourth best rates as far as the ranks go when it comes to numbers for winning a national title. And Kip, I'll throw you nailed the Texas thing this past week. If that team had just a shit ounce of offense, they'd be unbelievable. Their defense is obviously very, very good. They held Kentucky.
But are they that good, Tony? Kentucky has no offense. Kentucky moved the ball with a quarterback that's barely played in his career consistently the whole game. I'm not buying that Texas's defense is so good.
But they're giving up 7 points a ball game.
Well, that's, I know, good. But
they're giving up 7 points a ball game. We're week 9, so I don't know how. I don't know what else you want to say about defense. I will submit to you their offense sucks. Their offense is horrible.
Again, why are we so obsessed with statistics when you look at three of their games were absolute jokes?
We're in a week 9, and by the end of the year, okay, you have to look at something.
I don't buy
that. You looked at Clemson from last year. You looked at their stats and said this team's
against frontline teams. They weren't very good.
Okay.
I don't want to get into a big dispute today, but I just don't think you can categorically say that
I was bowing to you and giving you an olive branch. And if you want to get in an argument about it, we can certainly
no.
Do that.
I'm just but saying. I'm not going to declare Texas is going to be defense.
Texas will probably be in the playoffs, and we'll see what happens.
Well,
we'll
Texas
for the record, I would love to hear a dispute between the two of y'all.
Yeah, Texas is going to lose one more game. I told you this year they were likely to lose maybe 4. They are going to lose to either Texas A&M or Georgia. They are not going to beat both of those teams.
Okay, that'd be 3 losses, and that may be enough
to get in. And they'll be out.
In this year, that may be enough to get in.
It may. I don't think so.
Name two teams that statistically dominated games this weekend and both lost. They play each other this week.
Well, probably Oklahoma and Ole Miss.
Tennessee and Kentucky.
But Oklahoma won. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Tennessee and Kentucky dominated statistically the games they played and both lost.
Yep. That's true.
More yards, more first downs. Everything.
And let's get into that, Keith. We're going to talk about eye test and statistically. And you know, I love you, Kip. You know, we go back and forth. I love the fact we go back and forth.
No, this is great. I don't make the conclusions.
It's great. I absolutely love it. And I've you've been doing sports as long as I have been. So if there's one guy I respect as much as myself, it's you. Let's talk about Alabama though, you're welcome. Let's talk about it. Well, if you don't believe in yourself, you believe in no one in this business. And I have done sports radio for 40 years, so I know what the fuck I'm doing a little bit. Alabama, they win again. They win by 17. Just by looking at the numbers, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
But Kip, you and I talked about this yesterday. I'll start with you. This is a team that could have lost any one of those four games.
Trojan horse. Tennessee scores at the end of the first half at 16-14, that game is a cliffhanger, goes down to the wire. A 99-yard pick six, that was a backbreaker for Tennessee, but they still responded. Alabama's got a couple of problems. They're being way too overhyped because they cannot run the ball a lick. That's going to come back to bite them at some point, and their defense gets gouged by the running game on the other side. Bishop's run was indicative of what we've seen in a lot of Alabama games. I think Case said it best. We've got a hodgepodge of teams. I've got probably a dozen teams that I think are legitimate chances to win the championship. And I'm not going to be seduced by the rankings of idiots from the AP that we know a lot of them don't even watch games other than the team they're covering. I think you've got to get the head-to-head matchups and make your conclusions that way. I don't look at statistics and I don't care about rankings. And I really don't care when the College Football Playoff Committee gets together, unless they're completely different than their predecessors and start looking at things like strength of schedule and start factoring out the ridiculous inclusion of playing teams like UTEP and Sam Houston that's spiking up Texas's resume, and also the cupcakes that Ohio State pounds routinely every week. I think it's wide open for the championship.
Yeah, man, I totally agree with you. I can't remember a year in all the years of me covering football. I cannot remember a year where it's this wide open. And by the way, the Texas Longhorns right now have the 19th most difficult resume. If you want to look at resume, you were talking about numbers and stats, just throwing out the fact that they get the 19th most difficult schedule out of 136 teams. So there's something to be said about who Texas is playing and how they're playing them, for sure. By the way, that schedule right now looks like A&M, Indiana right now, strength of schedule is number two, which I'm,
what?
Again, with the FPI and the AP and the CF, and of course it puts strength. It's crazy.
They've played one team this year, Oregon, and they beat them. Oregon's best win was against Penn State, and they've lost four in a row.
Crimson Tide's number three. Fighting Illini's in there. Fighting Irish are in there. And again, strength of schedule, a lot of people, there's a bunch of different, the Florida Gators are right there in the top three. A lot of people look at strength of schedules too. It's based on, you know, were they strong when you played them? Are they strong now? So if you play like the number two team in the country and you beat them in week one, that's a damn good win for Florida State. But now all of a sudden they're going to fire their coach. So it's just a matter of how that team plays out. So I totally agree with you from the standpoint that things certainly change. Clemson at the beginning of the year was a preseason number five. Right now we know they're not even the top 30. So it is what it is. Anyway, we're into week nine. And by now we'd like to think we know what the hell we're talking about. And I think we do, certainly when it comes to picking ball games. How are our numbers, by the way, last week, Kai? Because I know that you keep track of our numbers. And I know we got Major League Baseball. Unfortunately, the Mariners don't make it in for our man down below us here, because I know that he had a futures bet on it. You know, by the way, I want to give you kudos, though, because to make a futures bet on a baseball team that has never appeared in a World Series and to come that damn close, you obviously know your shit, Case. You know what you're talking about. I was like, I had to realize that, but I didn't realize Seattle's never even been to a World Series. To pick them preseason was pretty incredible. Congratulations on that. But unfortunately, he came up just a little short.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker last night. I knew they hadn't been to a World Series, but I don't know why. I didn't realize last night until I saw the notification that they're the only team that's never
the
been
only
to
one
World Series. Still the only team. Yeah, I mean, luckily I didn't end up losing any monies. I did take some Toronto plus 1.5 games after game. I think I talked about it going into game three on here, and it was a gigantic price, and I didn't do it. So I'm really kicking myself. I ended up doing it at a lower price at game four, which it ultimately doesn't end up mattering results wise. Cause I would have got the same back either way. But I just think it's important if you want to last in this, if you want to be one of the very select few that can make profit, I think you should be looking at your process. And I think I kind of blew it by not betting after game three. I bet after game three. So I ended up making a very small profit, which feels like, which feels like a kick to the gut having the Mariners so close, but survive in advance. We'll go into another day. Now I've got a sweat in the World Series though too. That was the other bonus of the Mariners getting there. I could just kick back and be happy with whoever won. Now, I mean, I feel pretty good about the Dodgers, but now I'm gonna have to look if I want to arbit the other way with the Blue Jays, maybe take the series spread again, because I have no Blue Jays exposure.
My dad used to say, whether it's the size of a cannon or a Maverick, they can both kill you. You can figure out what I'm talking about there. And he used to always say, always dance with who brung you. If someone's bringing you to dance, you better make sure you dance with them and no one else. When do you know to hedge on a bet? I mean, for the most part, I know a lot of people that would take the Mariners. And I certainly see something where if someone's saying, listen, if you make $600,000 in this bet and someone's willing to give you a half of the bet to make it back, so you're going to be walking away with the table with $300,000, regardless, I get that. But when you make a bet like that, a futures bet, how do you know when to start hedging your bet, or what? Because a lot of people say, listen, I'm a gambler. That's what gamblers do. We bet on it. I'm going with it. And if I do that, then I'm jinxing myself. When do you know to hedge a bet?
Yeah, well, if I ever had like life-changing money, like, a six-figure decision, it'd be a little bit different. I might do it more aggressively. But to me, I just kind of keep the North Star to be value. And like we've talked about on the show before, I try to put numbers on every game. The first two games of this series, Seattle and Toronto, I thought the line was out of whack. I showed value on Seattle in both. I ultimately ended up even betting both because I thought the line was just wrong. Luckily, it worked out. But because of that, because I saw no value on Toronto, I didn't do it. It would have been differently if I put my numbers out and they didn't match with the market. I probably would have hedged in. But then once they got up 2-0, I think I mentioned game three, I showed value on Toronto, but I ultimately got a little bit greedy. I tried to keep the gambler's mindset you talked about and just try to run it forward, try to get that 3-0 lead. I didn't. I showed value on Toronto in game four again. So that's when I ultimately decided that I should take a little bit. But I know it's easy to say now, and people might not believe me, but if my numbers would have kept saying Seattle was the side, I would not have hedged. But I did show that the gap was closer between the two teams than the market was saying. So really, that's what guides me in all these decisions is I just kind of I want to make sure I'm making good bets one way or the other. So if I show, I'm never going to go out of my way to hedge if I think the value's not there. But if the value's there and it aligns with my financial incentives, that's when I decided to do it.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. That's what we do. And that's why we're hitting about 65, 66, 67% clip since we started this whole thing a couple of years ago. Real quick, what are the baseball numbers, by the way, for the series and over under on games? I know you've got the latest there in Las Vegas as we get ready for the Dodgers and Toronto. I'm assuming the Dodgers are a heavy favorite.
Yeah, I actually, guy, it was so disappointing. I hadn't really looked at it. I had detached before last night, actually a little higher than I would have thought. Dodgers, the book I have up right now, are minus 230 with Toronto coming back at plus 190. I mean, probably about right. I do worry about the Blue Jays lineup a little bit. I think they could do some damage, but the pitching is just a gigantic edge in the Dodgers' favor. So, yeah, more than a 2-1 favorite. Actually not seeing the over under the spread, but I can find it eventually if you want to come back.
Sure. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. We want to get back to college football too, because we got a lot to get into, some great games and something we did the last couple of shows. And that is, we kind of just jumped into whatever we really liked. We got some great SEC games again with Mississippi State, Oklahoma. Then that game opened at 4.5, now 5.5. Interesting line move there in Alabama, South Carolina. They were giving up 13.5 to Beamer's boys. That's jumped down to 2 points to 11.5, and another game that's moved quite a bit there. The Auburn Tigers opened up 1.5. Now they're catching 1.5 at Arkansas. Let's go to Kip Kiefer. Let's talk about some of those local schools here. We already talked about Bama. The Auburn Tigers, they just didn't show up against Missouri. I thought I didn't play them. I don't know if we had them up on our line. I would have thought that they'd come back better than they had after that Georgia debacle, but they just do a no-show against Missouri, and all of a sudden they're catching 1.5 against a team that's looking for a coach. What do you think about those Auburn Tigers?
Well, they had a 17-10 lead in the fourth quarter again. They're cloaked in failure. They find a way to lose every game, and it's not just the players. It's the coaches. It's the attitude. It's the fans. I was at the Georgia-Auburn game a week ago Saturday. You can just see one thing goes bad, and that was a really bad thing because it was the 15-minute review of the touchdown. Was it a touchdown or was it a fumble? But you could just feel the complete oxygen sucked out of that stadium. Chip Lake, a good friend of mine, an Auburn booster and my expert for Auburn on all things Tigers down on the plains, said he just basically didn't even watch the second half because he knew the game was over as soon as that call went against him. He knew the team would quit. He knew the fans would get bitter and quit. They are just in a real bad situation right now, and their coach does not help the situation. Hugh Freeze all week maintained how steadfast he was in his disappointment of what happened in the Georgia game. Then was finally apparently connected to Greg Sankey personally, who had reviewed all the different angles and actually showed Hugh Freeze an angle that that demonstrated that Jackson Arnold did not have control of the ball when it broke the plane. Maybe it wasn't definitive, but there was reason for that call to be upheld because on the field it was called a fumble. So the long and short of the story was Freeze's behavior was completely ridiculous and took it into the locker room, fussing and fuming around it, reflected on his players. He's not the right guy to be the coach there. And until they make a change, I don't see things getting much better for them. On the other hand, I thought it was interesting. I don't know who the announcers were Saturday night. They were a real lower level crew on that Missouri game. But they said Hugh Freeze shared with us yesterday that perhaps he didn't handle things very well last Saturday night, and it might have hurt his team. Well, it's nice that Hugh admits that privately to the announcers. He has not acknowledged that in public. I just think he's a loser. It's not Monday morning quarterback. I said when they hired him a couple of years ago, I didn't think he was the right guy for the job. He's unbelievably built an entire career on beating Alabama in back-to-back years. Liberty has not fallen off dramatically since he departed there, so he was no genius there. I'm unloading on Hugh Freeze here, but I just think he's a deplorable human being and a terrible coach. Damn. So I just have no regard for him at all, and Auburn's going to continue to struggle in that program until they get rid of him.
By the way, according to Coach's Hot Seat, Bill Belichick number 3, Hugh Freeze number 2, Mike Norvell number 1.
Wow.
He's just been put out
if
there.
People
he's,
are over Belichick, he's been tied
to a tree naked and just told to hang there till the end of the season because he is pretty much gone. But let me ask you something, Kai. You live right here in the Auburn area. We're 2 hours just north of them. The Auburn Tigers fire Hugh Freeze this year? And if they do, what kind of job is that?
Well, I mean, they're going into the Nobody Wants to Win Bowl.
That's a tough game.
Arkansas. But Hugh Freeze, I mean, and Tony, I know you'll know this from your days on the billboard. But Hugh Freeze saying, you know, we're getting close. It's kind of like the old days when Mike DeBose kept saying, God's got a plan. God's got a plan for everything. So
exactly like that.
Amen. I mean,
it's just it's gotten pretty bad with the talent Auburn has for them to continually screw up. But let's be honest, Arkansas, same way. Arkansas has had some huge blunders this year that have cost them. They've lost 5 in a row. Auburn's lost 4 in a row. And you could argue that Arkansas has been in those games just as much as Auburn has and has found a way to lose.
Yeah. And Kai makes a good point about Arkansas. They have really emptied the tank the last 2 weeks, coming within 3 of Tennessee. And the score last week was deceiving that they only lost by 3. They scored with 9 seconds left to cover. Thank you, Bobby Petrino, for that, because that gave me a W that I sorely needed. But and I'll acknowledge that that was a, like stealing one. But I suspect that they're approaching this game with a little bit different mental attitude of saying, well, here's a team that's struggling worse than us, which I don't necessarily agree with. I can see Auburn going up there and employing a real safe game plan like they did against Baylor, where they had superior talent, because especially on the offensive side of the ball, matching up against Arkansas's defense, which is absolutely abysmal. I can see see Auburn grinding out a close win in this game. As bad as things are there, this is a tough game to call, but I would have to lean Auburn right now. I don't know what you guys think.
I know two ships passing in the night, but I still have an issue with the fact that Bo Nix was the quarterback at Auburn. His dad played there. Everyone loved Bo Nix. And I mean, all he had to do was just fling the football up and just have some wide receivers. He ends up transferring, and now he's playing in the National Football League. And I believe what I want.
Leading 30-point comebacks in the fourth quarter.
It's like Jay Barker not playing for Alabama. How in the hell did he not be successful at Auburn? Somehow they couldn't find anything, and they're doing it now with Arnold. A lot of people believe that Arnold's got a lot more left in that tank. And
their coaching hires have been beyond belief bad.
Yeah,
Brian Harsin, maybe the worst hire of all time. What a talk about a terrible individual and a horrible coach.
Case, what's your thoughts? And then we're going to get into the DeFlora hire as well, because we had a ton to get into. But what's your thoughts on the Auburn? Is from a national perspective, is the Auburn job a good job?
I think with the money being thrown around and the chance you have at any of these top, even like top 10 SEC schools, I think any of these guys would say it's a good job. I mean, they all still have an ego, still think they can win. You can go make life-changing money. Yeah, you're probably going to get fired, but you're also going to have the chance to win a national championship. So I think it's still a good job. It's not, you know, this is looking like a really good cycle. So this is not a great time for your job to come open, as I think in no way is it a better job than Florida or Penn State. So if you're going after the same guys as them, that's going to be a problem. But I think you guys have done a good job. It's a toxic situation there. And I like Arkansas this week. I bet Arkansas is a dog. I just feel like, and Arkansas's defense is terrible. I agree with Kip on that regard, but I just don't, I don't know if anyone really can stop Arkansas's offense with the way it's going right now.
And yeah, Green is a great quarterback. They should be better.
I don't expect Auburn to be able to keep up with that. And you can hit me on the wrist if I do it again. I hardly ever put these things into my handicap because I like to be more numbers based. I don't have the numbers very wrong here, but just the vibes, how different are the vibes at the two places? I mean, I don't actually think it's probably great long term if you hire Bobby Petrino, but it seems like there's some real momentum carrying that way. It seems like the kids on offense at least love playing for him. It seems like Arkansas is playing with like a great bit of joy right now, and Auburn, it's just, like I said, toxic is the word.
They're like the walking dead.
Yeah, it's just waiting for what's going to come wrong. So I kind of like the situation for Arkansas this week.
They're kind of in that situation too. And Kip and I talked about this yesterday. I can't ever remember a coach being fired midseason after a win. And Billy Napier did this past weekend. He gets the victory against Mississippi State. I can't remember it in my entire career. Now, I've seen guys get fired at the end of a season after they've won a game, but not midseason after a win. Mike Norvell is going to be owed $54 million if he gets fired from FSU. Right now, Billy Napier is going to get paid $21 million. And by the way, it's the second time in 7 years that Florida will be paying three coaches at the same time again.
Well-run program.
Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, who, by the way, just retired from Central Michigan University this year, and Dan Mullen. So they're paying those guys. So right now, so that job is going to be opening up as well. So, I mean, a couple of big SEC jobs, Kai, that are going to be opening up in the Florida Gators. I don't know if the swamp is the swamp is the swamp anymore. I don't know if that Gator chomp is as big as it was, but certainly
ask
not.
Texas. It was pretty big last week.
It certainly was. But yeah, that Florida job's open as well. I would think that'd be a pretty good place to go too.
Well, you know, thinking about this, just it popped in my mind. What was after listening to James Franklin this past week, what was a more shocking firing? Him coming into practice and the AD telling him 15 minutes before practice time, you're fired, or Lane Kiffin while he's trying to get on the plane, you know, or on the tarmac, you know, which one of those is the
Pat most Hayden?
You know, Billy Napier is, I mean, as Kip's called him for a long time, Sunbelt Billy, you know, I think he was just in over his head. But I also think there are a lot of things set up there for him to not be successful. Question is going to be, does Florida want to bring in Dan Mullen, you know, pull him from UNLV, or is Mullen going to go to Penn State? Once the dominoes start to fall, it's going to be interesting, because I think Franklin is probably a very good candidate down there, but I also wouldn't be surprised if, South Florida's coach, Alex Golish, ended up with the Florida.
They got to look at him, I would think.
Yeah. I would hate that if he went there. I'd rather see James Franklin or, you know, somebody like that there that I think sucks. I think Alex Golish, I think the one thing that's missing out of Tennessee's offense from, you know, 22 was Alex Golish.
What about you guys? In case has some background with this guy, but I hear from my sources that John Gruden is actively campaigning at Florida to be considered for that job. I think that would be a great hire, personally.
I do too, and I think he's paid his dues, and I think it's
These coaches that have never been in I do not think that would be a good hire. These coaches that have never been in college, he does know football. He'd be an upgrade on the play calling front, but everywhere he's been lately, he wants to have personnel decisions too, and he's a terrible personnel guy. Oh,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, I do not think it would be.
Do you think Florida would take Dan Mullen back?
I hadn't heard that at all.
No, Kai brought it up, but I was like, you're not serious, are you? I mean, do you think they'd sniff at him again?
Well, I was just throwing something out there. I know you were.
And you were waiting for someone to bring it up, too.
He's not going to stay at UNLV.
But he's not going back.
And the success he's had, I don't care how bad
that's like remarrying your crazy wife. You're not going to divorce her and get back together with her, are you?
I think eventually he leaves, but he's been the only one of these guys. Last week, he went on a media tour. Every single place he went, he tweeted, he said, there's a 0.0% chance I'm leaving this offseason. I will be at UNLV next year. He's been a pretty stand-up guy. I don't think he's staying forever, but if I had to bet right now, I don't think he's just totally folded. I don't think he's leaving this season.
Well, there's not many places you can go see Kenny Chesney 7 consecutive shows other than Las Vegas.
That is a great point. Other ball games we mentioned, Auburn -1.5, now +1.5. Alabama -13.5, now to 11.5. Mizzou and Vandy. Vandy, of course, a top 10 team, giving up 3. Texas, we mentioned them, -6.5 up to 7 against Mississippi State on the road. A&M -2.5 against LSU. Tennessee giving up 9.5 against Kentucky. Kip, this past week, you said anytime you can catch an SEC team at home getting double digits, you jump on it. Would you take Kentucky +10 against Tennessee this weekend?
I would certainly look at it, and I'd look at South Carolina getting 12 or 13 against Alabama, who, once again, I think has some issues. I think Alabama is being successful right now because, and I said it 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'm so impressed with Simpson and his ability to be a coach on the field. He's an extension of he's the dream kind of guy you have at quarterback because he executes the game plan flawlessly, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. I think that's why Alabama's winning these relatively close games, but I think there's some issues there. And going on the road, South Carolina's got really, they're out of it. They're not going to be a playoff team. They're 3-4, despite Shane Beamer still trying to, because they were asking about the Virginia Tech job this week, and he was going, I've got something building here. You know, we're a national championship contender. They're 3-4. I don't really think they are.
I've never heard a coach who's 3-4 and diffusing any other type of coaching change. You better be open to a coaching change, my friend, because South Carolina may not want to have you.
I'd be dashing to Virginia Tech if I was him. The family name there is revered. But any double-digit home dog in the SEC, I think you got to take a very serious look at, because I'm telling you, winning on the road in the SEC is a major accomplishment, no matter who does it. I'm not a Missouri fan. They were home for 6 straight games, but even getting out of Auburn with a win for Missouri was huge. I still think Missouri, I'm just scoffing at a line I heard yesterday, and some you guys might disagree, but I heard Seth Emerson from The Athletic, a former Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter who covers Georgia still for The Athletic, say, well, Florida's in a position where they have to make a can't miss hire. They've got to get somebody like Lane Kiffin, which makes sense. But then he says, or Eli Drinkwitz. And I almost fell out of my chair. On what planet is Eli Drinkwitz a can't miss hire?
Anybody want to name that planet?
I wouldn't say can't miss, but I think my rankings are the same. I'm going after Lane Kiffin hard if I'm Florida, and I think Drinkwitz would be my fallback option. But I would not say can't miss. So I guess we're a little bit different.
Drink before Franklin. Really?
Are you really? I mean, if you're Florida, and I'm taking someone else's argument, I heard say this, but if you're a program like Florida or Florida State that aspires to like national championships, now we can argue if they should or not. Are you really going to take a guy who everyone just says can't win big games, got ran out of his last place because, he fell woefully short? I just feel like if you want to energize the fan base and stuff, and I'm of the show, I'd say I'm the biggest James Franklin guy. I've always defended him. I think there's good landing spots for him. I think one of these other primetime A with a bullet point jobs. We also always see these guys that I think are really great coaches. They get paid, you know, the tens of millions of dollars. They take the second job and they don't do as well. So as much as I like James Franklin, he's not a guy that I would circle the wagons for at like one of these big jobs. The second tier, I would trip over myself trying to hire him.
I asked Kip a question yesterday, and I want to get an answer for both you and Kai and Case. Miss Terry was on ESPN College Game Day this past week, and while we were on the air by the starting line gives better numbers, by the way. We're Locrum, All Real, Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry. Check us out with the legend, the whole nine, 10:30, 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings at ABC 3340. She was asked about Nick Saban coming back to coach again. And of course, everyone kind of snickered. And then Pat McAfee had to go off and say, come on, $50 million. That wouldn't be enough to bring Nick Saban back. She said, I quote, "We have not heard the right number yet." And so I asked Kip yesterday, what is the right number? If you knew you could bring Nick Saban into your program, and you knew, and I know you can't just go with me, this is fantasy land. Okay. This is a fantasy question.
And he's 73 years old.
And he's 73. And you knew that he could bring you a national title within 3 years. What price is too much to bring in Nick Saban? What's the number? What, I mean, knowing that we're going to lose money and it doesn't matter. I mean, is it 50 million? Is it 35 million? Is it 25 million? What would you be willing? Because if I'm Florida, why not? I'm throwing my hat in. I'm calling Jimmy Sexton and saying, hey, listen, I'm just throwing it out there. Is Nick thinking about doing anything? Put your name out there, because if you do, it makes you look like you're going for the running for the hills. Hell, I told Mark Ingram, call him. Why not? They're not coming. We know he's not coming to UAB. We know it's not going to happen. But we never.
I mean, UAB would throw you $600,000 or $700,000 a year.
If you told me that Bill Belichick was going to be going,
I was going to say $750,000. Yeah.
If you told me Bill Belichick was going to be the head coach in North Carolina, I would have told you were full of shit there too. Bill Cowher's not coming to Auburn. It ain't happening. Gruden's not going to Auburn. It ain't happening. Stop. But you know, why not throw it out there? It's kind of like when who was it? Who's the mayor of Birmingham who said he wanted to have the Olympics here? I mean, shoot for the mountains, shoot for the hills.
Yeah, man. Randall Woodfin, Larry Langford, both sides.
Larry Langford, yeah, he said, I want a beluga whale downtown Birmingham. I want to have an oceanic experience.
Larry thought big.
He did think big. I mean, people laughed at him, but why not shoot for the hills? Now look, we got some things going on here. But I mean, what's the number? I'm just curious what you guys are willing to, as an athletic director of a school, you know. Even if you lose money, is it worth a national title? What would you pay Nick Saban?
I mean, if you're going after, if you're, you know, watching Indiana pay a guy $11.6 million a year.
$93 million guaranteed.
Yeah. Let's be honest. And I agree. And yes, I'm taking almost this like verbatim from Feinbaum, who I do not think is the, you know, sharpest tool in the shed. But he's right. Cignetti did not deserve that raise. An absolute what is he now? Like the third highest paid coach in college football?
He went from 4 to 8 to 11 in a year.
Yeah, and they're just up and up and up and up. So if you're that AD, then if you're going to seriously consider saving somebody who won, you know, 7 national championships, then you've got to at least go out and offer him 15.
Oh, at least. Yeah. And my whole thing is like, if I was an athletic director and I went to my board and said, listen, we can get Nick Saban, but it's going to cost us $30 million. Do you want me to go do it? What would they say?
Per year? Yeah. Hell no. Nobody's been that.
I mean,
that's why I'm asking the question. What do you think it'd be worth?
More than that, someone would do, but I just don't like the whole premise. There's no way you can guarantee in this age of college football he's bringing a national championship within 3 years. I know
that's
no
what I said
it,
yesterday.
You
know, yeah,
especially where you guys are. But I think that Saban had lost a little bit by the end of his tenure. This team was not extremely sharp the last 3 years he was in. I know they had the great run and nearly beat Michigan what the last year, but and the 2020 team was unbelievable. I think they don't get enough credit coming after LSU, but. I just 73 years old, you're going to be paying, $50 million. I don't know if that's what you're getting at for a guy that, I mean, definitively, maybe he's still great, but his best days are behind him. I think he needs to stay on game day, kick back and enjoy what he's doing.
Legacy like Belichick, especially if you're there on game day, looking at what Bill Belichick is doing to his legacy. Why would you come back if you're saving? Because let's be honest, he's got plenty of freaking money.
Oh, he's got more money than God above.
And by the way, he may be making more next year at ESPN than he would be coaching football anyway.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, he's going to be making $15 million.
He's got luxury car dealers. He goes to Maserati conventions now.
He's making $6 million a year right now on endorsements, believe it or not. Yeah, he's living. And the Aflac commercials are terrible. They're horrible.
Oh, that's so bad.
Stop already.
But he's
still getting paid.
That's, talk about legacy. That's more humiliating for me. Go, no, ladies and gentlemen, the new commissioner of insurance or whatever, the Aflac duck. I mean, that's not funny. It's just pathetic. It's sad that he's even involved in that.
We got NHL to get into. We got NBA to get into. We got Major League Baseball we've already talked about. We got the pros to get into, NFL. Let's go around the horn real quick. Give me a couple of games, Case, that we're all kind of looking at, kind of piquing your interest coming up for, hell, it could be tonight because we get college football every day this week. Give me some college football plays.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully I do better than midweek last week. I think I lost like the first five games of college football midweek last week. I had to rally a little bit on the weekend just to make it an okay game. I already said I liked Arkansas. I did get them as a dog, but there's really no difference between the, one point one way or one point the other. I still lean that way. I just like the matchup. SEC-wise, I'm kind of selling on Ole Miss right now. I think Oklahoma's only going to continue to get a little bit better as Mateer clears up. So I don't have the current numbers in front of me. I'm trying to look, but I bet some 4.5 yesterday. It's not, six now. It's a little bit tougher.
I got 5.5, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still pretty bullish on Oklahoma despite the disappointing Texas performance. And I don't know. I mean, Ole Miss played better than they – I expected against Georgia, to be honest. I was probably lucky to get that cover. That was a huge one for me because I bet it twice. It ended up, I think I mentioned on the Tuesday show last week that I loved them -6.5 when it opened. I never thought I'd get back there. It did get back there, so I ended up betting it twice. Oklahoma's one that stands out. And then, guy, I never in a million years thought I would be the guy that likes Missouri the most on the show, but it seems like week after week I'm singing Missouri's praises. Mostly 2.5 now, but I'm seeing a couple threes still in Vegas. I'd say you got to get the three. It's a key number, but I did bet Missouri +3, and I actually bet some money line Missouri +140. I mean, they have had an Achilles heel that Prabula, I think that's the first time I've ever said his name right. He throws two or three terrible passes per game that turn into interceptions. But other than that, they're just extremely solid. I feel like they check boxes in every area. Vanderbilt's been great too, obviously, but the one area where I'm still kind of concerned about Vandy is their defensive backfield. They're just not very good against the pass. And if there's a spot where Prabula can match what he's done with his feet and kind of settle down throwing wise, I mean, turnovers are so fickle and hard to project. I feel like Missouri is probably in for a strong turnover performance at some point. If you can get the three there, that would be the other SEC game that stands out to me. It'd be Missouri +3.
Kai, what's getting your job, bro?
Oh, the NBA tonight, Houston, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City without Jay Will, giving up 7 at home against Houston, Golden State going to the Lakers, and Golden State's now giving up 2. Both of those really interest me as far as NBA. We got some good college football games tonight. I really think the Kennesaw State, Florida International game is going to be a very good game. Going through, I like some big favorites again this week, just as far as get right. Like I really think Oregon against Wisconsin is a get right game. I like Texas Tech is get right, TCU with some of those things, Texas Tech's team total, against an incredibly horrible Oklahoma State team, and Texas Tech, historically has loved to run these kind of games up. I think they'll score a lot. They may give up some stuff. I played Oklahoma early. I played Arkansas early, and I played Alabama early already. Tony, we talk about this a lot, but I wanted to give you some Tony Curry useless stats that prove that stats don't really matter. Just for Kip and Case, I'm talking about. Guess who has the #2 offense in the country? Florida State, who's 3-4. Mm. #4 offense in the country, Arkansas, who's 2-5. #9 offense in the country, Texas State, who's 3-4. Got to play both sides of all those great stats. So,
I mean, total stats mean absolutely nothing, yeah, but there are stats that contextualize things greatly. And life would be a lot different if I didn't trust statistics. So I kind of take offense to a few.
You have to have something to look at, for God's sakes. That's why we keep score.
But none of y'all are keeping up with, and somebody's going to get on this train with me, hopefully this week. Indiana Jones. Damn, look at
the baby. I can't believe what they're doing. I can't believe it. It's surreal.
Kip, I'm riding the train again this week, minus the 14.
Kip, what's some games you've been looking at?
Well, one game I don't like this team very much, but BYU just survived the holy war with Utah in a real battle. Now they have to travel across the country and go to godforsaken Ames, Iowa. I think Iowa State knocks BYU off their high horse. People are talking about them as a possible playoff team. I like the Cyclones in that spot. Ty's talking about a couple of, I was trying to call him Ty Simpson. Ky is talking about a couple of blowout possibilities. He left my two off the list. I think Miami's going to be up 56-0 on Stanford at halftime. I unfortunately was having problems sleeping and watched the fourth quarter of that debacle with Florida State and Stanford. It was the worst 10 or 15 minutes of football I've ever watched. They both are absolutely horrendous. Stanford is going to Miami this weekend. Miami's not going to be in a good mood after blowing the Louisville game. I think they're just going to kill Stanford in that game. And the other big blowout possibility is Louisville themselves. Boston College arguably is one of the bottom five power teams in the country. They are terrible. They are not competitive. And Louisville is surging. Louisville's defense, I had not really watched them up close. They had completely dominated that game against the Hurricanes. If it wasn't for Tony, the one real explosive playmaker for Miami, Louisville would have won that game, I think, by three touchdowns. It's just amazing to me that Louisville is kind of a hidden treasure here in the ranks of college football. I think they have excellent personnel. I was extremely impressed with what I saw from them. And I really like them to just blow Boston College away going back home with that surge of what they accomplished at Miami. I think right now I can't believe they lost that game to Virginia a couple weeks ago at home, gave up two defensive touchdowns in the second half that really killed them and lost the game at overtime. It's too bad that that's on their resume. They'd be undefeated. And I think they're really in a position right now, if they go ahead and continue to play like they're playing, they're going to be on the outside, just on the edge of being a playoff team from what I saw. That's how impressed I was by their performance. I guess, let's see, anybody else I have on here. I'm not a Texas guy, and they're on the road again at Mississippi State. I'm not going to be surprised to see the Bulldogs rise up and give them a really good game. They'll probably lose by three, just like Kentucky did. But I just am not impressed at all with the Texas offense. Their offensive line, which was supposed to be a strength, is terrible. They can't run the ball. Arch Manning is flustered. He just flings it all over the place. And Arch Manning has not been a big threat running either. He has not really produced much on the ground. That was another thing that they were trying to sell you on, the Heisman prospects for him, that he's such a dangerous runner. I haven't seen it. He's not running against Catholic high schools in Louisiana. Now he's running against SEC defenses. So that's a couple right off the bat that I like. I'm most intrigued by the Ole Miss-Oklahoma game. I think it's kind of a de facto elimination game. I think who loses this game is probably a playoff quality team, but they're going to be saddled with a second loss, with especially for Oklahoma, challenging schedules to go. So that's a couple that come to mind. And my special this week of a top five team going down, I've been right just about every week of picking one to go down. I say Texas A&M's yellow brick road comes to an end. I think Brian Kelly is going to get the best effort out of LSU that we haven't seen yet this year. Another team that can't run the ball. I think LSU beats Texas A&M outright this week.
LSU catching two and a half.
I just got to hear, because it's the huge rivalry weekend from the alumni. What's going to happen? Kansas, K-State.
Ugh. I don't have a bet on this game. I made it right at three where it is with Kansas, but Kansas State just owns them so much. If you were forcing me to make a bet, like I think in my column, I put guess Kansas State plus three, but man, Kansas State's been, this is like the first year ever where Kansas looks a little more reliable. I feel like you know what you're going to get out of them. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to be bad on defense, where K-State, it just seems like it's a coin flip every week if they're locked in or if they're
the Dublin hangover. I told you guys it was going to happen.
So,
couple other games we're looking at too. I agree with you, Kip, on the BYU Iowa State game. I think BYU coming in 7-0. I think they're only catching 2.5. I think they're going to lose their first ball game. I'm going to be interested to see how South Florida and Memphis plays out. A pair of 6-1 teams still playing for their postseason lives, particularly after Memphis has lost that game to a bad UAB football team. That line opened up at 3.5. It's up to 6.5, which is quite interesting. SMU, who just knocked off Clemson, only giving up 3.5 against Wake Forest on the road, I think is a very, very interesting ball game. And I'm also looking at that Mizzou and Vandy game, a pair of 6-1 teams. Anytime you get a field goal or less, I think it's gonna be pretty interesting. So we'll get into that as well. We haven't talked before the show, and I know the NBA season has just gotten underway. Let's do the NFL real quick. Just look around the league real quick. We don't have to go very long on it. Just any interesting games going on, anything that really piqued your interest this past weekend. Both Kip and I were all over Philadelphia. I love that game. We ended up getting that bad boy, which was great. But any other interesting games this past weekend, or any games on this weekend that you're really peaked in, you're looking at, or we don't need to jump on early, Case?
I don't have this week in front of me. I've already worked on it. Okay. I'll say just off the top of my head from last night, I know I've been betting this team every week. I seem like I'm the only one on them. But even out of this this win over the Texans, it seems like people are just piling on the Texans and talking about how bad they are. I think the Seahawks are like quietly just one of the
better really teams. Darno's playing outlandishly.
they got a bunch of defensive guys back last night. And you saw a better defensive effort. I mean, Darnold is, I guess, the proof that you just don't give up on someone. I think for the second straight year, he looks just totally in control. And how bad do the Raiders look? They traded a draft pick. Paid Geno Smith like $15 million more dollars than Sam Darnold, who's younger, fits better on your timeline. He gets to go to Seattle for less money. And I know it's easy to say this now, but I was saying it at the time that I didn't like the Geno Smith trade. I guess Tom Brady didn't like Sam Darnold. That's why they didn't go with him. But man, Seattle is still a buy on team to me. I don't know who they play this week. I've now got it in front of me. They must be on a buy this week because they're not on my sheet.
You're hearing the commercial. Nobody knows football like Tom Brady.
Yeah. So the Raiders are just a complete train wreck. They're on a bye too. We don't need to get into all that. But yeah, I'm super impressed with the Seahawks. I've heard people talk about the NFC West like it's a two-team race between the Rams and the 49ers. And the Niners do already have a win over both the Seahawks and the Rams, which is big. But I really have been most impressed with the Seahawks out of all of them.
And just in time, my Bengals got the Jets. They're actually favored by 7. Everyone all of a sudden is saying that Joe Flacco is a resurgence of he's like the young Joe Burrow back in his boots at the age of 40. Maybe they'll get a shot to go 4-4. Any other games the NFL guys you guys like?
That Jets line, I mean, Joe Flacco was great. I think they probably win. But that line was 3.5 last week. You've doubled it off of that one performance. This is one spot where I'm not telling you you have to go out and bet the Jets. Of course, I probably will. But I would say this is just a spot where you just do not lose money by paying a premium. Even if they lose and you feel like you missed out, this is just a gigantic swing of perception in one week.
Agreed. Anything else, guys?
I clearly like the Colts. You know, unfortunately for my Titans, I did get it at 13. Luckily, but I just don't understand it. And I know Jaden's gonna play and everything, but I'm still. It's Monday night and all that. I'll have to look at it a little bit more. But I like Washington catching that many points, getting double digits with their offense. I just think they can. I think they can handle that. And I do not understand the Chicago Baltimore line and how Baltimore's a 7-point favorite when. They've done nothing this year.
I think they're going to get all their guys back. I think you're going to, I'd say wait. I like Baltimore, but if you like Chicago, I'd say wait. Cause I think the practice report is going to be really strong for Baltimore on Wednesday. And they're going to take some money. I also kind of doubt that Jaden Daniels is going to play. I know they're playing the softball. It's not that bad. It's not a serious hamstring. You don't mess with hamstrings. I think they sit him out at least this week.
By the way,
how he plays.
Yeah. By the way, I want to thank Case too for bringing up Dak Prescott on our last show. We were doing. He was talking about the best player in the National Football League, and of course, he was centered in a lot of different pieces. And of course, the last 3 weeks he has been in man
piling it up.
Lights it up this past weekend. So thank you. I put some money on the Cowboys just because of that. I got a chance to nominate
Tony, on NFL. The two flops of the week, both in prime time. The Falcons were abysmal against the 49ers, who were depleted and making up defenses as they went along. The Falcons are the Falcons. They always will be. Every time people get seduced by them, I know they were like a hot trend bet this week. They fell flat on their face. And the Buccaneers' performance last night, Detroit, I think they had a bus driver, a shoe repair guy, and a draft pick from Ferris State in their defensive backfield, and the Buccaneers erupted with the MVP Baker Mayfield for all of 9 points.
Even worse than that, like their whole back defensive backfield are former Raiders, so I know all those guys.
There you have it.
That was a terrible performance by the Buccaneers.
Got a chance to get out and see the Houston Rockets take on the Pelicans. Man, it was great preseason. I actually see KD playing 32 minutes and saw Zion playing for 31 minutes, which is more minutes I think he's played his entire career down there. It was great to see both those guys right in front of my eyeballs. But I love the NBA, and I know the season's just getting kicked underway. And we'll start with you, Case, of course, out there in Las Vegas. A lot of action being taken on the National Basketball Association and everything else. Any early league stuff you want to get into? We really have talked about the NBA.
I mean, big picture, I know we've had six different champions, I think, in six different years, so everyone's used to the parity. And I said this last year, so I could be wrong, although I loved the Thunder last year, too. But I think this is the year it ends. I think, you know, big picture, tiers wise, Oklahoma City is like up here so far above everyone else. And I've heard, well, they didn't really add anything this offseason. They didn't add anything because all their guys are like 24, 23. All their guys are so young. They're just going to naturally get better. They're the deepest. I feel like they're so much better than everyone else. And to me, this is maybe more of a hot take that I've heard so many people disagreeing with. So maybe it's more actionable. I think the second tier, there's only one team in it as well. I think clearly the second best team to me is Cleveland. I just do not agree with the talk that it's Cleveland and the Knicks neck and neck. I actually think if a team jumps up in the East and surprises people and puts a scare into Cleveland, it's Orlando. I know Cleveland kind of petered out of the playoffs last year, and that's got everyone off their scent and calling them chokers. But we see it time and time again in the NBA. I mean, Oklahoma City was the one seed 2 years ago. They lost to Dallas, I believe, in the second round. It kind of takes this process. You gotta have some disappointments first before you break through. Like I said, Cleveland and New York, basically co-favorites to win the East. I would have Cleveland much higher than them. And again, I like Orlando even a little bit better than New York. So to me, it's Oklahoma City, then everyone else, Cleveland, then everyone else. And the West looks tough beyond that. But excited to get it going again tonight.
Kai, I know you jumped on a couple of early games early in our show here. Anything else you want to add to the NBA?
You know, I'm going to be interested just to see tonight how Oklahoma City does come out. I mean, that total is 227.5, and they have, I mean, they win with their defense. Yes, they play, you know, good offense, but they win with their defense. Well, Houston, clearly what they're doing, and with KD, they're just going to come out, and you saw it when they were playing the Pelicans. They're going to come out and jack up a ton of shots. I do think that game goes over, and you might get a back door there from Houston. I, you know, Oklahoma City, all the stuff going on. I'm also going to be interested to see. I know I don't think Kuminga's playing tonight for Golden State. We know LeBron's out, but I think that actually is going to slow that Lakers Golden State pace down to, you know, Luka's favorites, which, you know, Chase kind of looks like Luka, doesn't he? And you know, get him going a little bit slow, might stay under. I do like Cleveland tomorrow night at the Knicks catching three.
All right. NHL. You want to go a little NHL real quick before we let it fire off? And again, if you like what you hear, make sure you hashtag four guys or four wins or whatever you want to do. And just make sure it's the 4Ks, man. We get after it. Go hashtag 4Ks and make sure you check us out at 4K Winners too on our social media platforms. We're all over the place. Go to 4kwins.com, K4Wins. I'm sorry, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Go to our website and get all that stuff taken care of. Anything else in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, we have to. It's the sports equinox, right? All four major sports going at the same time. Mm-hmm. I talked big picture about NBA, so I guess the same with NHL. I feel like it's a lot different than when I first started covering and following the league real closely, where it felt like there are so many teams that had a chance. I feel like it's kind of gone to like the NBA and even now NFL model. I just feel like it's so top heavy this year. I feel like there's like five or six teams that are just so much better than everyone else. Last night, we probably had the best game of the season in terms of how good the teams are with Vegas hosting Carolina. Vegas without their captain now, broke his wrist out a few weeks. Their goalie gets hurt in the first period. They still win 4-1. The game was a lot closer than that in actuality, but a huge win for the Golden Knights. And they're certainly in the mix. They look great offensively with Mitch Marner coming in. I feel like it's like Vegas, Edmonton, Colorado, Dallas, Carolina, and then everyone else. It's just it's really stratified this year of the best teams, but it's been fun to watch. As far as a game tonight, I haven't seen how the lines have moved, but I bet a few, nothing huge. I kind of like Vancouver going to Pittsburgh. I feel like the Penguins are still getting some respect in the market because they're traditionally strong and they've started the year decently, but this team has so many holes, one of the worst teams in the league. I'm a little higher on Vancouver, so I like the Canucks tonight.
All right, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com again on Friday at 10 o'clock Central Time. Of course, also check us out on LBBC 33, 40, 10:30, 11 o'clock right here locally in Birmingham.
Alex Mortensen, Tony Curry, yes. A big get, the hottest name in the business right now.
Probably your next head coach for the UAB Blazers. I would assume that he's probably got the inside track, and I think Mark Ingram, after experimenting a little bit and going outside the box, getting Trent Dilfer, I think he'd be just fine getting someone on that staff and taking that job for next season.
Now, I know we got to wrap it up, Tony, but I've got to get these other guys' reaction. You hit me with something yesterday. Is UAB going to make a bowl game? And I kind of went, what? They've only got 3 wins, but you're optimistic.
Optimistic about it. They got Rice, which should be a win. That's 4. We got to give 2 more wins. Listen, you just knocked off a team you're a 23-point dog to. I mean, boy, now I'm looking at like the Army game. I'm like, I wish we could play that thing again. But again, all you did was change a quarterback and change your coach. And I mean, all of a sudden you're that much better. It's just amazing.
We talked about bumps. I mean, did you guys on any universe think UAB would get a bump and knock Memphis off last week?
No.
Not to that level.
Case was on UAB.
I mean, I picked him. I didn't bet it, so I didn't profit on it at all. But the interim coaches, though, all the interim coaches did great.
It's been amazing this year. That's a trend we talked about. Nobody else has mentioned it. Week after week, a new coach wins every time.
Crazy stuff. All right, guys. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. We'll catch up this week.
Thanks, guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.